Well, hello everybody, and welcome the very warmest, biggest, most heartfelt welcome to all of you who are with us. Wherever you are in the world, whenever you are in the world, we know that not everybody listens to this on the day that we go live. Some of you are live with us on Facebook, others joining us on YouTube or on our turningtowards.life website, or many of you on podcasts, and you are all so welcome. And this is Turning Towards Life with Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and it's a very exciting and auspicious day, Lizzie. I can't even say that properly. I'm so glad that you're here with me and that we're together, because this is our sixth birthday of Turning Towards Life. 6 years ago, Lizzie, I'm remembering us tentatively setting out, not knowing exactly how we would do this, or what it would be, or what it would be like. And it's become, I know for us, the most extraordinarily life-giving and important conversation and practice. So thank you, Lizzie, for so faithfully and wonderfully being here for 6 whole years, but that also it's become a very important practice for many others of you. Those of you who find a way to join us and be in this conversation with us in your various ways, thank you also, whether you've been with us for 6 years or just coming our way. Thank you for being with us and widening the circles of this conversation. And if you want to support this on this auspicious sixth birthday, one of the very best things you can do is tell people who you think would benefit about it. We're very, very keen to have these conversations in the hands, in the ears, in the hearts of anyone who would benefit. So, Lizzie, that's one of the things I'm hoping might happen on the sixth birthday, is that the circles find their way to keep on widening themselves.
Hey Justin, I was thinking this morning while I was having a shower, who were we 6 years ago? Like, who was that? What were we like? And I might go and have a listen and see who we were. Who knows who we were? So we have this source this week by Courtney Pepinell. We had a source from of Courtney's recently as well. And I just got the book of all of this beautiful writing by Courtney, and I love it. So here we are again. And in a way, this source is in response to what I feel has been a very crazy week in London and some very terrible, violent things have been happening. And I've been wondering about what's going on in our world anew. And this poem seemed to speak to me about what we could be to each other rather than hurting one another or being aggressive towards one another or all of the other things I could say. So I want to thank Courtney for bringing this in the book that I've just bought, and we'll see where it takes us. So this doesn't have a name, but it's from the book called The Way Back Home by Courtney Pepinell, and it goes like this. The world is meant for building each other into castles, for holding each other in times of duress and struggle. We're not meant to burn each other to the ground. If we cannot support each other in the times we need to come together, we will be left in ashes.
Lizzie. So this is by Courtney Pepinell. You can always find the source in the notes that come with the podcast, and also on our Turning Towards Life website, and also in our Facebook group. The world is meant for building each other into castles, for holding each other in times of duress and struggle. We are not meant to burn each other to the ground. If we cannot support each other in the times we need to come together, we will be left in ashes.
Thank you, Justin. I noticed just on hearing you say that, I'm so glad that this is true, that this is what we're meant for. And I've been thinking about what a castle is. And of course, there's all different ways that each of us will have a story about what a castle is. In this context, I've been thinking about what it would be for you to build me into a castle, and what kind of attributes does this castle have, having been built by you, Justin, and many others into who I am. And I was thinking about how strong a castle is in terms of its capacity to not just have one something inside of it, but spaciousness to invite many things inside of it. And also that there's a kind of strength of character of a castle that exists as well. Like, the only castle I've ever seen has been itself. It's not like castles are generic or something. Every castle I've ever seen, you can tell it's a castle, but it's a different kind of castle than the one I saw last time. And also the line that comes after this as well, for holding each other in times of duress and struggle. It's like, what I can see in the progression of this is you and others have built me into a castle. And then in this castle, I can hold others in times of their duress and struggle, including myself. And so it got me thinking about building one another and what we are for one another. But then in the building, somehow, because we got built, we can become somewhere that is a refuge for others as well. When we get built well, we're not only interested in our own castleness, but others are invited right on in as well. And we can all become what we need to, and also be protected and or sheltered when it's hard through each other as castles. So I'm really moved by this direct pointing to the thing that we often come back to here, Justin, of who we can be to one another. This feels like a very specific articulation of what's possible between human beings. That's not only in service of the human being in front of me, but is in service of any human being that then gets in front of you when the times are hard and we don't know which way is up and we need some guidance and we're lost or we've messed up. We can be this for one another.
I'm very seems like such a good place to begin, Lizzie, to take Courtney's poem at face value and to wonder about the imagery in it together. And it was clear to me as you were speaking that there is a meaning of castle that I think is not the one that's implied here, which is that we build one another into impenetrable fortresses. This is more, I was thinking about the kinds of castles that stand for something majestic and beautiful and dignified, and the kinds of castles that are filled with, this is something you and I and the others of us at Third Space often talk about when we open our professional coaching course as well, I'm realizing, which is a castle filled with thousands of rooms filled with gifts. not the kinds of castles where the rooms are boarded up, but the ones where the doors open and people can come and visit and benefit, that kind of castle. So it's building one another into something expansive and solid and open and varied and airy and filled with the kind of variety and contribution that we get when we go to to visit a fantastic place. And I'm very touched by what you said, that maybe when we're prepared to do this for one another, one of the things, the outcomes, is that it really greatly increases our capacity to hold one another when things are hard. So perhaps it should be no surprise that if I spend my time, Lizzie, tearing you down because I'm frightened or angry and trying to make you as little as you can be so I can be big in response to your littleness, not only is that deeply unethical, but it also renders our collective capacity to respond to difficulty greatly diminished. Because if I'm destroying you and you're destroying me in our attempts to get bigger than one another in the face of difficulty, as Courtney says, we end up mutually burnt to the ground. And then where are we? So I'm thinking, as I often do, about the places that we get to learn things. What I'm thinking about, where we get to learn things. And it's a very unfortunate characteristic of the world, how often we fail to have the opportunities to learn to build one another. Because it takes love and care and courage and skill. When you come to me and I'm frightened or anxious or uncertain, it's the easiest thing to do to bolster my own self-esteem, to try to build myself into a castle at your expense, rather than doing my best to build you and let you be vulnerable enough to let you build me. And I have this just even as I love the way these conversations go, Lizzie, because I think certainly it's my experience that I discover things just in saying them to you. I'm discovering things. I feel very invited by these words into a world where we purposefully attend, probably in the times of ease, but also in the times of difficulty, to how can I be the one who helps strengthen you? And you have you be the one who helps strengthen me, so that we can meet even the most intimate, most interpersonal of difficulties, so that we have a better chance of meeting the difficulty together. You know what, if right in that we can strengthen one another, and then we have much better chance of finding the way through. But our frightened parts are much more likely to go, I'm going to smash you. I'm going to feel better by being the one who comes out on top of this.
Yeah. Somehow, Justin, as you're talking, my mind has gone to kind of institutions and systems, and how many times at our most vulnerable, we go to people we don't know to help us. And I suppose because I'm a couple of months away from giving birth, I'm in that space of vulnerability where I'm going to be in the hands of people I don't know in some way, probably, maybe, who knows. And I feel like there is a way that those systems that we ask for help from could build us and strengthen us. But there's also a way that the opposite is true as well, because the systems are all they are is made up of people who, as you're saying, are many times afraid or concerned in particular ways that don't build a human, but they break us in some way. And it's such a curious thing to feel into, I guess, where my thinking goes is, if I haven't been built into the castle by people, if I haven't been strengthened by my community and by the people around me in an ordinary way that we're meant for, as Courtney's saying, it's so hard for me to go into places that are bigger than me, as in systems, and hold my own. And of course, that looks, holding our own looks different for different people because of all kinds of different relationships that systems have to different kinds of individuals. And it feels like a really big thing to me that we're all subject to these bigger forces. And because we are subject to these bigger forces, how vital it is that we have people in our most intimate circles of closeness and relationship that are up to this thing. Otherwise, it's hard to hold our own in the bigger, wider systems. But it's also true that some of our most intimate circles are not the ones that are the most helpful, and we find this way outside of our intimate circles somewhere, and then that starts to become our most intimate circle, thank goodness. You know, that there are places of refuge when our closer lives are so tricky and difficult and filled with woundedness and fear, and then we meet people, we get welcomed into something that feels like an encounter with this kind of castle building. And how beautiful that is too. So then I get this big wave of gratitude, Justin, that we're up to that thing where when we open a space of our programs, of the things that we do in third space in the world, we're offering castle building rather than something different that would have people feel smaller or lesser or something. But that we're also up to weaving people together in those spaces. Like, it's not about us, it's about the community that gets made, that becomes a self-sustaining circle of castle builders for one another. And how do we be facilitators of things that are much bigger than just us being into castle building, because that's what we love and feel purposeful about. But how do we create systems, different systems than are normally, certainly I've ever encountered in my life, different systems that are filled with that goodness and that mutuality and that that capacity inherent to hold one another.
Yeah, I'm thinking about how there's a, in this poem, Lizzie, there's this very vital aspiration that our most intimate places might be the kind of place where we build one another into castles, but we know that for all kinds of reasons, and it is all interlocked with what happens systemically and historically and in on scales much bigger than any of us, that very often are the places that we find ourselves are not always amenable to that, at least to start with. You know, I may be in a situation where I'm surrounded by other people who are not up to that, and I find myself being burnt down, and I can bring myself as best I can, but that we benefit from circles of support around us. And I was having exactly the same thought, Lizzie, that this really expresses a very deep intention that's deeply in third space, but it's also deeply in the kind of coaching that we do and the kind of coaching and help for one another that we teach, which is that we take up this place in the world of making communities or making conversations which are dedicated towards building one another's strength and dignity and capacity and openness and creativity and generosity and courage and the spaces and communities and conversations where we can meet one another with a deep trust in one another's goodness and then work skillfully at supporting that being strengthened. And it's one of the questions that I've come across recently. I've been thinking about this a lot as we've been teaching, but also as I've been doing my own work in organizations and doing one-to-one coaching, and I'm also thinking about how we all work together. It'd be a great question for me to bring in for myself there, which is, does this strengthen you or weaken you?
Mm.
Does what I'm just about to say or just about to do, does it make you stronger or does it make you weaker? And I don't mean stronger. I notice in myself that whenever I say stronger, there's the part of me that worries about strengthening the use of unhealthy power. Like, and I think I want to find a way to say this, that to be stronger doesn't mean stronger in order to dominate others, because that essentially is a way of being weaker, really. If I have to dominate you in order for something to happen, in order for me to stay safe, then that's not really strengthening. That's building, I don't know, like a false castle or something, like false ramparts to cover up the fragility that I feel underneath. So I want to be a stand for building one another, for what this building one another into castles to mean, this strengthening to one another, to mean also strengthening our capacity to be sensitive to one another and to the power dynamics in the world, to strengthening our capacity to be receptive and vulnerable and open, and strengthening our capacity to take care of ourselves and one another. Those are not the sort of forbidding castle on the hill that you wouldn't want to go anywhere near. But anyway, I suppose what's occurring to me is what it is to take that question into the world. What would happen if we collectively found a way to make a move in our family systems, in our organizations, in our wider systems, to say, how do we strengthen one another, rather than maybe unwittingly, maybe unawarely locating ourselves in a sort of politics of distrust, domination, of feeling safe by getting the one up on one another. And the places to start are actually the close-in places, really, with our friends, with our families, with our colleagues, in the communities we make.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, I was just, I have no idea where this thread is going, Justin, but I was just thinking, who do we have to be as this one? Who do I have to be as Lizzie to be a person that can build another person into a castle? What do I have to feel inside of my being, inside of my reality, that I could find that generosity in me? And as I'm wondering about that now, I can see what comes is all the ways I'm not like that. All the ways that I feel lack or restriction or fear, or like there's not enough and I'm not enough, and, you know, all of those things. But I also can notice in me that there are many times that I am this kind of castle builder. And really, that capacity has always come from other people's generosity towards me. You know, I remember all of the times when my little Vespa was born, and how I felt so kind of adrift from normalness. And when people were kind to me, it was just at that moment for me, I just fully received all the kindnesses. But then I notice if there's any other mother in the street, or if there's anyone around that looks like they could do with a help or a smile or a cup of tea bought when they didn't realize they needed one, or something, or someone just to say, are you okay? Because that got bestowed on me as a new mum, my relationship to new mums is that, which is, oh my gosh, I know how that felt when I was there. I'm really filled with what I received, and I can bring that to you. Whereas if that hadn't happened to me, I don't know whether I would have that to give. And so I feel like this moment of, like, many times I feel hopeless about all of this, like, well, our world is really not in great shape and da, 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 da. But then we have these conversations and I think, well, really, maybe it really is just one thing at a time. where everybody could become more filled up in one way by one person, and then that bringing it forward into life happens to three people, and then those three people bring it to seven people or something. And it really is just one act of generosity at a time that has the world become. And then I think, oh, well, I can do that. You know, I can go out today around where I live and I can be generous because I've received generosity myself. And it can start anywhere. It can start anywhere at all. And I think those small acts of, I was walking down the street with my nephew yesterday, and he's a West Ham football fan. And this man stopped his car and shouted out the window, "Come on, you Irons!" And it was like, and Christopher's 12, and he felt completely filled up by the goodness that had just flown out of this man's car window. And we talked for like 10 minutes about how good it feels when someone recognizes you and feels who you are in some part of your identity. And football means a lot to him at the moment. And this man took the trouble to stop his car and wind down the window, and they had this little moment. And this guy is probably in his 70s or something, and just could have driven on and had a thought about the shirt that Christopher was wearing, but he just stopped and said it. And they had a little moment of humor together, and then he drove off. And even that, I could feel, filled Christopher up with something that he would then pay forward and towards other people at whatever the time was that was right, kind of thing. And so all these little moments of human goodness, whether it's humor or generosity or seeingness or helping someone, or could be anything, couldn't it? Giving someone a hand with the shopping bags, or being in a profound conversation, sometimes like we are with people, where it's kind of a life-changing thing. All of these things, they really matter, and they really put something in the pot of the world's goodness that then gets served into other people's bowls.
What you're saying is such an important reminder to me of, in a way, how simple it is to do this for one another if we can find in ourselves that which will, the kind of generosity to be that. And that sometimes when somebody else is caught in a rage or a despair or a whatever, there's no knowing ever exactly what will build another person. But where it starts with is in a way a sort of a simple act of faithfulness towards the possibility that we all are. We have to find in ourselves the place that starts with, things can be better, people are good, there's goodness in everyone. And like you're saying, sometimes, Lizzie, we receive that because of, and this is where we also have to be the initiators. You know, we walk into a shop and pay for something, and somebody smiles in a particular way, and we feel restored to ourselves, or someone calls out support from a car window, or we come home and we get met at the door by someone who'll smile welcome at us. And so the story that we're all, I mean, I think this is what I really appreciate in Courtney's poem, that the story that we will be left in the ashes leaves us in the ashes. It's as simple as that. Of course, it leads that way. But the story that something is possible, even if it's small steps, as the chance of our holding one another. And if we can't find it yet from other people around us, it also, your question of who do we need to be the initiators, I think is a really great question. What, from where in ourselves do we need to respond in order to be the one who doesn't have to wait for somebody to smile at me, but can generate the smile inside myself? And we've spoken about this a lot. There are so many places within us from which we can respond. And it has been the giantest, most helpful kind of language and way of looking I found for me to know that when I'm inappropriately rageful, for example, that that's one place in me, and that there are still others, that I still have my heart and I still have my belly and I still have my mind and I still, and there may be something in me that is raging. And maybe that sometimes is the place to respond for. There are places for rage, but often not. And the faithfulness towards myself as someone, something bigger and deeper and wider than this moment of intense whatever's going on is part of the pathway. And of course, as you say, it's greatly accelerated if we can do this for one another. If when you're caught in a thing, I can remember your beauty and your depth and your goodness and your width and your capacity. If I can remember that in you, that might help you to find that in you. But we also have to do it for ourselves, because it has to start somewhere, you know. And maybe that's for any of us who feel like we've got the capacity to do so. Maybe it's one of the most important things for us to work on, is that how we live in a way that puts us in contact with our own, with this in ourselves, with these words from Courtney. How do I keep alive in myself being this? It's not only a very helpful question for the world, it's also a very life-giving question.
Oh, that feels very opening, Justin, to feel into the, when there are parts of me here that aren't really like this, there's also other parts present that I might not be able to see, but I can remember. I can find them. Anyway, there's lots more coming up, but I know it's our time to finish now. And I want to thank you, Justin, for 6 years worth of thisness, and thanking people for being here for this with us. It's quite something. And we'll be back next time with a source from you, Justin. And we're going to just keep on keeping on until maybe we're old and grey. And I'm already quite old and grey, but not very old and grey yet. But I just think that's so beautiful as well, wondering what it'd be like to be like 80 doing this or something, and carrying on just talking and talking and opening and reading and wondering and getting more poetry books. Thank you, Justin, and thank you everybody for being here and supporting us in the way that you do. And we will see you next week.
Thank you, Lizzie. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.